On this episode of Off Course Agility, I'm going to be discussing the final day of NADAC Champs 2021. So I'm recording this from home. I made it home. I'm recording this on Tuesday night, October 12th. My trip with my sister, we traveled over 1,172 miles. I guess not over. That's what the trip odometer read for our trip. That included all the miles for us to get out to Springfield, Ohio from New Jersey and back. And then a little bit of the mileage just driving around on the Clark County Fairgrounds. I think that was the name of the where the Champion Center is, and one trip to Walmart and some burrito place we got dinner at. So we went to Walmart to get some supplies, and we got burritos for dinner the night we went to Walmart's. And then there was one other night we ran out to Bob Evans for takeout for dinner. And then I had one trip just to top off the gas tank before we left on Monday morning. So that was all the miles we had on the odometer. We didn't really do a lot of sightseeing out there. The whole point of the trip was to be at championships, and we were. So I'm going to talk about the final day. I had released a podcast about every day up until the final day, which was Sunday, October 10th. So I'll talk about that day so you are aware what happens on the final day. This year, the morning started with the teams event. So the teams event is optional, but three dogs and their handlers can come together to form a team. And then each team is in a division, so it might be double digit or it might be elite. Veteran or elite veteran handler. So there's different divisions in the teams, and I believe like two of the dogs have to be in that division to make it that. So they ran a team event on Sunday morning, and so all the dog scores from the competition of championships, all the first six runs add up, and then they have this final run where all three dogs participate. And it, you can kind of think of it as an agility relay race kind of thing. So there's one course, but there's three courses set on that one course. So one dog will run the one course, then once that dog is leashed up, the second dog goes, and he runs the second course, and then the third dog runs the final course. I'm not sure if you had to run those courses in a specific order. I wasn't there in the morning to get like the briefing on that, but essentially, you had to cover all three. So I guess you the teams would have a confab and decide which dog would do what. So like the first, I'll just say the one course definitely had like a distance challenge in it. And then the one course I think had weave poles in it. And I'm not sure what the third, I can't remember now what the third course featured. Might have been like a serpentine thing or something. But each course had a different, obviously it was a different course, but on the obstacles that were there. And there's no jumps in that, so they don't have to set any jump bars or anything. And then that time for that event, I believe, is also added onto the team to get the placements for the team event. After they ran all those teams that had formed and were in competition for that, the next thing that happened on Sunday was the drawing of the state raffle baskets. Also during that time, I believe the worker raffle was also drawn, but that wasn't like, not a big, there's not a big deal with that. They just draw the entries and then they put the winning person's name on the items for the workers raffle. And the worker raffle, those items are just, I mean, they're nice items, but they're just some like token gifts, let's say. And they vary. It's almost like, well, I walked through it, but I hadn't worked anything, so I didn't have any entries in it. But kind of like walking through a bit of a garage sale, I would say. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was new stuff that people had donated, most of it. But there might have been a few dog toys, or there was a dog pillow and a blanket. There might have been some like food. I can't remember all what I saw since I didn't have a ticket. I hadn't worked. I didn't really pay a lot of attention. But it's a little token gifts to that the workers get to put their ticket in and win. And my sister won one of them because she had worked on the Saturday. I know she won some candles. And, I can't remember now what she had. But she won a few items. And I know candles was part of it. I think there was a dog water bowl. There was a bandana. I think there was toy, maybe? I can't remember. But you get the idea. So there were a few items in that. It was like it was a dog bowl with these other items in it. So she had won that basket. So for once, I actually saw. In the prior years I'd gone, I entered in the state raffle basket. But I don't think I ever actually observed the drawing of it. But I did this year. And what happens is they take all the tickets that were in the paper bags that are in front of the various state baskets. They dump them into like a cardboard box. They give it a shake. Marge Vincent would reach in, kind of swirl her hand around in there. And she would draw a ticket and hand it to Jeannie Biggers, who would announce who the winner was. And then they taped that ticket to the basket after announcing it so that the person could come and collect all their loot. Christine Chapman was also assisting in the process. She was like, I think she was the one maybe taping the winner's name onto the baskets and in front of the baskets. Then after they drew all the state, I'll say, my sister and I had both put in a lot of tickets into the Canadian, it was the Canada basket, which really wasn't a basket, but it was some honey and it was some candy bars, and it was a nice small thing to win. So I had put quite a few tickets in that, thinking, well, that would be easy to get home, and my sister put a few tickets in it, and she won that. So we won the honey and the candy bars from Canada. We haven't tried any of that yet, but we will. It looks good. So we got candy bars to help sustain us for future trials, and we have some honey that we can use to get us through the winter for tea and honey. And so we were actually lucky, and we had bought the Bruce Vincent special on the Wednesday, so we had I guess we had a total of 300 tickets for our $100 or whatever. So I don't know if we really made anything on it, but at least we had a win, because there's a lot of people that buy a lot of tickets and they don't always win. But it was fun watching that and seeing who was winning the various baskets. Then after they drew all those baskets, it was time for the challengers run. So anyone who did not make the finals, and this year, my understanding of how finals was the top three dogs plus any dog that was within 30 points of the third place dog was making the final run. I didn't hear anything. I don't know if there were regional buys this year or not. I think that was maybe in the past. Maybe they had that too. But anyway, that's how what the criteria for getting into the finals this year was. And if you don't make the finals, then you can run in the challengers run. And the challengers run is all the dogs grouped just in the various heights. So like all the small dogs compete, whether they're elite, pre-elite, whatever. They all essentially compete against each other for a cup that is awarded in the award ceremony. So you have to take first place to get the this cup for winning the challengers run. But it is another run, and if you know, you could get another cue from that too, because it's you're making a NADAC run on a course. So you could get a cue for doing that. Then after the challengers ran, then, and there's little breaks in between this, but not a lot. After the challengers run, then they started running the finals. And of course, they started with stakes. All dogs that are in stakes do go into the finals. So the stake dogs all did the final stakes run. And then they started with the normal dogs running in the stakes area. I mean, running in the finals. And now that was, the elites and the pre-elites, everybody was running the same course on the finals. One thing I did notice this year that was different from the last time I attended was that in 2019, all the finalists got a t-shirt to wear that said, like, NADAC finalists. That was not the case this year. I didn't see anyone wearing a special t-shirt, so I guess NADAC didn't do that. That's how, things vary from one championships to the other. And so I didn't notice any finalist shirts. I actually worked part of the finals. I worked from the 36th dog to dog 70, I think it was. And I was in the ring setting bars. All the workers for the challengers and the finals run, that was just signed up that morning because, you can't sign up ahead. I guess you could, but you don't know where you're going to be in the order. So they just do those sign-ups that day. And I didn't sign up for any of the prior worker stuff. I mean, I was just an observer kind of support staff. And this time I was busy with work before we went, so I just didn't get a chance. And I never signed up to work anything in the 3 days, the first 3 days of championships. But I did sign up to go in the ring and bar set during the finals. And I enjoyed that because you get, being a bar setter at finals, you got a front row seat. It's probably the best seat in the house to watch these dogs run. And during the number of dogs I had, for the most part, it was like half the time I was in there, it was 16-inch dogs. And then the last half of them were probably 12-inch dogs. And really, the only time you had to get up was when somebody dropped a bar. And then there was one height change. Also, there was a hoop number 4. Occasionally, the dogs were hitting, and I'd go out. I think the first time the judge did it, but then I just started going out, setting it back when it would get hit, and it would move away from the cone that indicated where it was supposed to be. And of course, the judge was standing right there, so he saw what I did, and so I was doing it okay when I was putting it back. The one thing I will mention, though, and it goes along with my the podcast for day 3, when you could say my sister was complaining a little bit. And once again, I'm there, and I'll say it here too, I am no expert on the surface of anything. And I imagine you would want the surface that dogs run to be on the softer side as opposed to a harder side. But I did notice during that run, and remember, I don't remember how many dogs ran in finals, but I'm going to say it was probably close to 100 dogs, I think, ran in finals. Because I know there were two worker changes after me. So the final worker change may not have had as many dogs. But while I was in that ring, I noticed that, I saw the dogs coming on, there was a hoop jump line that they came, opened up the course on, and then they went through what I said was hoop number 4 to the dog walk, I believe it was, that they went up and over, maybe in the A-frame. My memory is so not good. I'm sure you can see the course map for finals on the NADAC site. But I noticed at that point that there was a real rut from hoop number 4 that curved over to the dog walk. And the hoop actually had, I would say, under the bottom hoop bar, there was probably an inch to an inch and a half of gap just from the soil of the arena, just like being moved away from all the feet running over that hoop. And what am I going to say next? Like, occasionally I would be hearing the dog's toenails or whatever clipping that bottom bar of the hoop, which is not that unusual. I've observed that at like a outdoor trial when we were on grass. I've occasionally heard that too. So, but there was a real rut. I just say there was a rut through that hoop that led to the dog walk. And I never saw it getting raked while I was there. Maybe they raked it after the next worker change, but there was this rut. And I think I noticed one dog that kind of went a little wide of the rut that most of the dogs, so his line was just a touch wider. And it looked like his, at one point, his back end kind of just slipped a little. But I'm no expert, not a judge. I'm just saying what I thought I saw. But still, yeah, all the dogs were running fast. That's for damn sure. I saw some of the dogs doing that course in just a little bit over 30 seconds. And then a lot of them were doing it in less than, 45. So they were fast. They're the finalists. Then after finals is over, then essentially there's another little break. And then NADAC has the award ceremony. So that started, the awards ceremony, I believe, started maybe at 3:45 in the afternoon. So this was Sunday afternoon, 3:45. And that went to a little after 5 o'clock, I think. And I watched most of this awards ceremony. I did step out a little bit early because I had to run back to the camper because my sister needed relief from watching the dogs there. So I ran back to the camper before it was totally over. But watching the awards, they started with the team awards. So the teams got a ribbon. Each member of the team got a ribbon for the third place team, the second place team, and the first place team in the division that they were in. And then there were awards for, Chris was giving out checks to the junior handlers that were there because NADAC had a good funding this year for their junior handler, and they essentially paid the expenses for junior handlers to come to championships this year. So he handed out those checks to the junior handlers. There were some judges awards to various people for doing great service at championships, then they went on, and it went on to award the third, second, and first place to all the dogs in the various divisions. You know, pre-elite extra large, pre-elite large, pre-elite medium, pre-elite small, pre-elite miniature. I'm not sure if there all these were there, but essentially that. And then they moved up to, they may have moved up to elite veteran handler, and then elite vet, and they had then just plain elite standard, and they gave out those awards out, and the second and third place teams get a just like the team people did, the winners of the various divisions in second and third got like a large rosette type ribbon indicating their, how well they did. But the first place team got this really large trophy, like award. And I think they may have gotten a little plaque or something that indicated they were the champion too. And all these, a lot of times all three of the teams, the handler and the dogs, were coming up to this little podium, and there were pictures taken. And those pictures, and they may have been put on NADAC Facebook. I'm not really sure. I haven't got a chance to look on the NADAC. I don't think they were on the NADAC site proper. But I believe they may have been posted somewhere. Certainly, they were taking a lot of pictures. And then they went through all the awards, and then, like I said, sometime after five, essentially, championships had ended. To comment, though, too, the other thing that happened Sunday, and this was happening all of that day, was people were moving out of their stalls, taking down all their decorations. So as it got, more and more toward finals, more and more stalls just became empty, or undecorated and then emptied. And I'm sure some people did it after the awards ceremony, but a lot of people had left the stalls before that. The other thing I wanted to mention about the awards ceremony was that, essentially, everyone, they used the ring. They used the ring that the finals was run in. They'd cleared it of the course, of course, and everybody gathered in there with their, their chairs from their stalls and stuff. So there was and there were a lot of people. I mean, obviously, if you were winning an award, you wanted to be there, but I would say there were well over 100. People, maybe even 200 people in the ring area watching the awards. I just sat on one of the bleachers off on the side. And then my final comments about things was, and this comment's kind of off a little bit off the wall, but while I was there, I do a lot. I listen to some podcasts. My sister streams some things occasionally, and I was live streaming the finals. I was live streaming some of the runs sometimes when I was in our stall and I wasn't in the arena. So I sometimes was watching four-legged flicks, and I had a Wi-Fi hotspot, a Verizon hotspot that I had gotten and had 10 gig of data. It's, kind of like a, pay plan. You just buy so much ahead of time and you use it. Essentially, I used that 10 gig of data while I was, on this trip. And in addition, I used 5 gig more between my sister and me on our phone plan. I think we have a 9 gig plan with rollover. But really, in this little over a week period that we were away, We used a lot of data. So it's just something. Now, that type of usage varies. There was Wi-Fi in the facility, but it was, I never saw or never heard of any publicization that any we could use it, or, you know, that there was a password published to use the Wi-Fi in the arena. So I did not have Wi-Fi. I was always using my cellular data. And it worked okay in the stalls, but as soon as, like, you would leave the building, like, if in the building you had one or two bars, when you went outside of the building, you now had, like, three or four bars. So the signal strength in the facility definitely was down. It's just something to remember, no matter where you go, that it might be you use more data when you're at championships, especially if there's no Wi-Fi available. And then the final thing I just want to say is thanks to NADAC. They put on a wonderful event. Was it always perfect? No. As often is said, you kind of have to go with the flow when you're at championships. And I'll say that Sunday is a bit like that too, because although there, I told you the order, it was teams, it was state raffle draw, the challengers, finals, and the awards. All that depends on how long it takes each one of those things to run. So there's no set time when you come in on the morning. The only thing you know is they're going to start with the teams event. Then the other things will follow. So there's not like, you know what, 3 o'clock is the award ceremony. No, the award ceremony was like 3:45. So those times, you know, you have to do and run the number of dogs that you have. And so that's going to be variable. And I'll say too, on the challengers run, some dogs weren't there. And some people decided, you know, personal reasons or whatever, they weren't going to come and run their dog on Sunday. So in the challengers round, there was, I think, about 100 dogs. But I think there should have been probably more than that. There probably should have been closer to, I'm going to say, maybe another 30 or 40 dogs that ran. But those dogs decided to, you know, not run. They left. They didn't run the challengers. So, once again, I think I'm going to kind of wrap this up. I want to give a big shout out to the NADAC, because NADAC, and this year was especially challenging, I would think, with, you know, the COVID situation and all that. And I don't know if they had the same number of staff that they normally have at Champs. I don't know the answer to that. But I think that overall they did a really good job of hosting this event in Springfield, Ohio, which is, you know, not their base of operations. So they have to come across the country just to be there to run this. And I think they did a really good job. And at the awards ceremony, they had thanked all the judges, too, that were there, even the judges that were out doing the side runs. And the judges that were in, like, some judges that were in the pretrials and in the main event of the championships. So they had acknowledged and thanked everybody. And they got a big round of applause for when all the NADAC judges and staff were there at the start of the awards ceremony. So that was Sunday of NADAC Championships. I think I'll take a quick break, just come back with a quick final, and that'll be it for this one. And I'm back with a quick final. As always, I want to thank all my listeners. I want to also acknowledge that a few people at championships had come up and told me they have listened to the podcast. Some said they enjoyed it. Some just said they had listened to it. I thank everyone for listening. And as always, if you have any feedback, good or bad, I welcome any emails to offcourse@optimum.net. offcourse@optimum.net. And that email is usually in the show details. It may not have been in some of these podcasts that I did from championships, because I was trying. I didn't have the same amount of time to do all that and this stuff for the show notes while I was essentially on the road. I will be sure that that email is in the show notes for this episode. Just as a heads up, I do not currently have my guests lined up for this month. And after doing all these podcasts from championships, I need a little break myself. So I think and I hope that I will have my October guest episode. Hopefully that will release on October 27th of this month. And I hope to line up a guest. I had talked to a few people at championships about being future guests, but I don't know. Hopefully some of that can come to fruition in the future. So if you're heading to a trial this weekend, or you're doing videotaped runs for submission to NADAC, I wish you happy trialing.